Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Everyone, you are listening to Eyes Up here with Francine. I am your host, Francine. Alongside is my buddy and partner in crime, Baxter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so happy to be here tonight with you.
You're always tonight. Doing awesome.
But we're doing tonight.
Tonight, it's different. There's different. A different vibe because it's like nighttime.
Yeah.
Is there?
I feel different.
I feel tired. But then I feel tired in the morning. What's the difference? I don't know.
I don't know if I feel better or if I feel worse, but it's different.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, you wake up in the morning and, like, usually we come down here, like, what, 9:30 sometimes. I'm just kind of, my coffee's just kind of kicking in, but I'm still kind of sleepy. And now it's 7 o'clock and I'm just starting to get sleepy. From the day, you know, doing everything in the day, and it's catching up on me now. And usually 7 o'clock is the time where I kind of wind down. I get my decaf coffee. I sit on the couch. I go to the DVR, look up some stuff and kind of unwind for a couple hours. But tonight it's all about the podcast. There is no rest.
Do you always drink decaf?
No, I drink caffeinated. I drink one cup in the morning of caffeine. But then at night, I can't drink. If I want a cup of coffee, I have to do decaf or else it'll keep me up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can't have caffeine at night.
See this? This is calf to the gills.
Really? No, I can't.
I could drink a vat of caffeinated coffee at night and give me a pillow. I'll be asleep in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you stay up late, don't
do.
You?
Sometimes.
I'm not a late person anymore. I used to be. Gosh, I used to play poker online until like 5:30 in the morning sometimes. Like, I was a maniac. I guess after I got married and had kids, I got so regulated with my times. I have to be in bed by like 10 o'clock or else I'm sleeping on the couch.
But you've also run into, you know, I do stay up a little late, but I also wake up a little late sometimes too,
because oh my god, that one day it was what, 11:30?
It was like 10:45. I'm like, look, got up, I'm just catching my bearings, I get back with you in a few minutes.
I can't even tell you the last time I slept past like 7 o'clock. I can't tell you.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, it's too funny.
That's I was like 10:45. It's almost 11 o'clock. Get your ass out of bed, you got work to do.
No, was that the day I was confused on what day we were recording?
That Yeah, and I think it's the day that both girls were sick.
Yes. Oh my God, we were so thrown off. Oh, so thrown off. We might have been drinking that night before, and I woke up and I was so paranoid that either I was about to miss our recording time because I was like thinking about it.
Give me a half hour, and I go, that would be tomorrow. Like, what are you talking about? Then I thought I was off. I was like, what day is it? Like, am I wrong? No, you're wrong.
That's too funny.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, like some nights, and I'm trying not to do this anymore, but for Christmas, one of my presents from Hubs, he got me two bottles of Bailey's.
Oh.
So one bottle was like the original, and one bottle was of vanilla cinnamon. So I've been putting like a double shot in my nighttime coffee.
Okay. I can dig it.
That's good. It's like every night I'm drinking. No, it's like 17% alcohol. It's not good.
It's good. Okay. It's
good. It tastes good.
It's good, but is it good? I mean, it's not great.
It's not good for you.
No.
And I've been like knocking myself out in the gym. You know what I mean? And I said to myself, man, I'm sitting here and I'm drinking this, not that I'm an alcoholic or anything, but I'm drinking this cup of coffee with this double shot. This can't be good at nighttime. That sugar, I guess there would be sugar in it, plus the additional calories, plus the alcohol. So I stopped doing that. I said, I can't do that anymore. Now I'm trying to stop the coffee at night altogether. Like, I don't want to, I'm trying to just drink water, but I was on a kick. I was like, every night I was getting my little coffee and I was sitting down because it's so relaxing. I have my heating pad. I have my fuzzy blanket. Then, you know, the spiked coffee. Like that's a dream night. That's so fun for me.
Can't beat that. Well, you know, so I know you like the moonshine, right? You like the,
It's not that I like the moonshine. It was the watermelon moonshine was very, very tasty, but it got me effed up. I was spinning drunk.
Well, okay. Well, that's liking it. If you get spinning drunk, that's usually, that's fun. But there's a like a little booze bottle of moonshine that you can, there's like a coffee flavored one.
Oh.
That you can like, it's like a chaser almost that you can put in your coffee that's makes it like, it's like a Bailey's. Well, I got those, put it in the wife's stocking. And we've added that to the coffee at night as well. There's a strawberry one, I think, and like a mocha. Coffee. Like it's like a straw, like a hint of like a strawberry, like I don't know if it's
cream or something.
Yeah, like a creamer. And then there's like a mocha one. It's awesome. But it's like a Bailey's.
You know, it's so delicious, but I said this can't be good for my body. Like I'm trying to detox. Yeah. I've been going like, you know, the days that I lift heavy, right? Then the days that I don't lift, I do cardio. And then we have the steam thing. And I go in there and I sweat my ass off and I'm trying to like detox and like drink the water and get the toxins. And I'm saying, Bailey's is not good. I'm sweating out Bailey's right now. This isn't good for me, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
It's a sauna. Sorry.
I love that sauna that you got. I love that.
Sauna. Yeah, yeah. Feinstein goes, oh, is it the kind the plastic that you zip up, like the beanbag chairs that you.
What is this?
A real sauna made of wood. It has infrared lights on it. It's awesome. And you sweat, like you really sweat. And I've been doing that because it's supposed to help like your inflammation and your joints.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and they say, you know, you might live longer if you start to use the sauna more. So I've been trying to get in there for like 30 minutes and do that. So, I mean, once in a while, like when I have my girls' weekend, I'll go and I'll have a drink. But I think the Bailey's and the coffee needs to stop.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's so good. Oh, it's so relaxing at night. You put a little whipped cream on the top. It's so good. I miss it.
I don't blame you.
I know.
All right. Well, I'm going to send the link to our
link to our guests.
We're being meme bombed.
I'm not even checking my phone. There it is.
we're being meme bombed to death. So
I'm sure you people know who's coming on. And if you don't, you're going to in a minute. You can do the intro for him.
Well,
you love him so much.
I love him so much.
Don't you marry him? You love him so much. You should marry him.
Not go that far as to say that, but I mean, what can you say about former ECW champion, former WCW United States champion, former WCW tag team champion, the one and only, and now back in the podcast realm.
Yes.
With what is it? Franchise University? Is that the name of it?
Maybe.
I don't want to butcher it. But he also had a great association with the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and ECW. The greatest duo in ECW history.
We are. And let me tell you, I can't get rid of this guy. He's up my ass 24/7. I just can't get rid of him. But no, he's one of my best friends. We're still traveling the road together, up and down the territories, doing our thing. We have a lot of stuff planned for the first half of this year.
Oh, no, there he is. So I was okay. Right. He is my good friend and yours. He is a well-coiffed franchise. I guess, can I do this too as he comes on? Look, can I do this too?
He's
look.
What?
Look. Oh, man, it was hot in here. Man. Oh, man. Oh, so hot
man,
in here tonight.
The
how about that?
Is starting already.
Oh, look at the title.
What is it?
It's the well-coiffed franchisee. Did you just say your name?
It's the franchisee.
It ain't easy taking care of this prodigious coif.
Did you just get it done? It looks fabulous.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Wow. How you
What's
feeling?
Happening?
Are you doing all right?
Yeah. I'm doing great right now. I understand there's a massive airstrike going on over in the Middle East by the United States and Britain. So,
do you know, I was just looking at a film of Alaskan Airlines the doors are flying off in midair.
I saw that. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I was what the hell is going on?
As much as you love to fly, I could just see you on that.
Oh, my God. I would die. I would literally lose it. The door just came off.
Full disclosure, I'd have a cinder block in my pants.
Oh, my God. I swear to you. I remember one time, you know, Sandman was a self-proclaimed atheist at one point. I don't know what he believes in now, but we were going down. We were on a flight, and it was so – I've never been on a flight that had turbulence like this. And he grabbed my hand and went, I don't know who you pray to, but you better pray to him now. And I was just like, oh, now you want to pray to my God because you're going to die. Is that it? I thought we were goners. The plane was literally doing this.
I thought you were going to say Sandman bolted to the cabin, crushed in and like flew the plane and landed it and saved everybody.
That would have been a better story. That didn't happen, unfortunately. What's going on with you? Do you want to talk about your podcast first?
Yeah, absolutely. It's well, first of all, Happy New Year's to everybody. Good seeing
Happy
you guys.
Year.
Franchise University. We've been, you know, pushing some numbers. We had to take 7 weeks off because James Wynn got married. I tried to talk him out of it, but he wouldn't
join the club.
Yeah, so we're back. We had to record two episodes this week. Apologies to everybody. Honestly, I was getting deluged by people at the grocery store. Hey, is there an episode this week? Yeah, so we got caught up to it 2 weeks. We're 3 weeks behind, so we got caught up to. We'll in 2 weeks hit two more, but we're having fun with it. It's it's for me, as you know, I get so nervous on camera in front of people. What about you guys? What's new? What's happening?
Oh, well, you know, we're on iHeart.
He hasn't been here since we've been on iHeart.
That's right. Congratulations.
Has it been a year since you've been on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He hasn't. I think the last time Shane was on was when Punk had the meltdown at the press conference.
Oh, wow.
Was that the time he's going to kill Tony Khan?
That was the time when he had the meltdown in front of the press. And Tony was just sitting there with the bug eyes watching it. And then the brawl out went on backstage. And then Jericho whispered to Tony, some shit just went down.
You know, this thing that happened, what, last week, week before, I lose track of time. I'm like, it's like kind of Twilight Zone. But, you know, first of all, I'm sure Tony Khan's dad has some pretty well-qualified communications experts. There are times you go public and you say things, and there's other times to shut the hell up. And clearly he doesn't know the difference. So it sends a shiver down your spine watching it and thinking, like, you know, how carefully we would try to do things in the past. And when you'd screw up, and there were plenty of those, you know, we would try to figure out the best way. What's the old saying? When you're in a hole, stop digging. And boy, seems like old Tony Khan's got himself a backhoe. He's taking this thing as deep as he might end up in China. Who knows before we're done.
Well, and he's made even more, I would say, even the press conferences and whatever he's had to say publicly in front of people being as bad as he could possibly do. That's terrible. Online, he's worse because he's created a controversy between the companies now by going after talent.
Yeah.
And have you seen that, Shane, this week?
I hadn't, but I've heard people like complaining about things just in general. So fill me in, please.
So what he did was, so Jinder Mahal, who's a WWE talent, was on TV a few weeks ago. He was in a segment with The Rock. Okay, the segment got rave reviews, got pretty decent ratings. They decided to give Jinder Mahal a title shot. So Jinder Mahal's been kind of off TV. They've used him as a manager, but he is a former champion. They gave him a title shot.
Yep.
Well, Tony used the fact that he hasn't really won a match as the barometer to say, oh, well, why does he deserve a title shot? And kind of took a shot at him in a tweet, right?
Yeah.
And used Hook, Taz's son, as an example, you know, as to somebody that is a superstar. So then Jinder took a shot at Hook, and then Tony came back and took a shot at Jinder, and then shots fired back and forth. And it just did not look good.
Yeah, and what's the end goal? You know, it's you're putting heat on some of the boys that poor Hook. What I mean, good kid, right? He's sitting there minding his own business. All of a sudden, he's in the middle of this controversy. It's again, like there. I think it's time for Tony to sit back and say, like, call his dad and say, "Hey, can you get one of your damage control people, communications experts, online?" It's so frustrating to watch because there's so much talent. My God, we've talked about this ad nauseum. There's so much talent in those dressing rooms. And yet, you know, you see stuff like that. It's like Peyton Place. You know, for all you kids out there, it's a soap opera. It used to be on the TV. You know, and it's just like this flailing about. It's embarrassing to watch. Focus on the product. It's the product in the ring. And, you know, I did JP's a podcast the other day, his 9th anniversary. And was saying then, you know, that it's the product. Remember the old line from Bill Clinton, it's the economy stupid? It's the product stupid. Fix the product. Get the product right. And instead of trying to take these shots, you know, when we did it in ECW, we were the little tiny guy trying to get eyeballs on us and, you know, taking shots to get some of that attention. But to be like one of the quote-unquote big two, and out there playing this kind of Peyton Place, where, you know, we're going to go and tweet something mean out and everything else. It's just so ill-advised and so stupid. And again, everybody knows my personal feelings for Vince McMahon, but I, you know, there are still things I've learned from Vince. You know, whenever I remember when Hogan years ago did the promo after he went to WCW, he said he had all the Irishmen. Yes, even the man shaking in his boots. I went to Vince and said, hey, during one of the Dean Douglas vignettes, let's have a grip. Make some noise in the back of the room, and I'll be annoyed by it. And I'll finally say something like, Mr. Belia, will you sit down and shut up, and maybe you'll finally learn something about this business. And Vince loved it. He chuckled here, but you know, we don't do that. Never talk about the enemy. And directly from Vince. And now this kind of stuff, Tony has tried to place himself as being one of the top three bookers and all this other stuff we've heard. But you've been on national television for 3 years and failed to grow the audience. They're still between this 300,000 and 800,000 number, correct?
Yeah, no, so they're barely growing at all.
Yeah, so they've already failed. I mean, 3 years in, my guess would be somebody at TNT, unless they have absolutely nothing to air, is there's discussions going on like, hey, how long do we want to do this? Because are they still paying the production costs?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
You know, it's, at some point, this fandango will come to an end unless they get it right. And they have some really great young talent there. But they're also, you know, I won't use names. I'll try to keep my friends' names out of this. But I had spoken to one of my dear friends from there. And they told me that since the beginning of the company, there wasn't a single question asked of them. And I can assure you, this person taught me a world of stuff that I would later use as the franchise. So the fact that nobody's asking him questions or asked him any questions seems to me to be just crazy, insane. They got to right that ship. They have a chance. You know, they have the money and they have a great dressing room of talent. Yeah. But, you know, a rudderless ship just sort of floats around and goes in circles, right? And I think that's what we're seeing with AEW. Get the ship right. Get the rudder fixed. Get this thing moving in the right direction, especially as Vince's numbers have sort of sloughed down. We keep saying Vince. The company formerly owned by Vince McMahon. you know, take some lessons from him because, you know, love him or hate him, the guy knew what the hell he was doing as far as business goes.
We talked about this before when they had the scrum, the way that Tony was behaving and cursing and just acting more so like one of the boys and not the boss, right? Yeah. When I see him tweeting and childish stuff, like not even something like an adult man would write, just like taking cheap shots. And to me, he's trying to poke the bear, which is either like Triple H, or you could even say Vince McMahon or somebody in charge. Yeah. And nobody ever pokes back. Right. You know, Jinder is the one that poked back, and he's talent.
Yeah.
So the boys always fight on Twitter. Like, it's like an everyday thing. Somebody's fighting with somebody on Twitter. Okay, whatever. Tony, to me, I don't know what his ultimate goal is, but he keeps trying to poke that bear. And no one is responding. Yeah. And it's like, after a while, you have to say to yourself, okay, do I look like an asshole? Or am I getting my point across? Which is your point. You look like you're 7 years old and making like potty humor jokes half the time. It just comes off as very childish to me and just disrespectful to the business that we're all in.
Yes.
Because why do you have to take shots at another worker just because he didn't win a match in a year? Guess what, Tony? It's a storyline. It's not real. He was booked to lose.
What? Wait, hold on a second.
So honestly, taking jabs at this guy, it's to me, that just shows you how disrespectful he can be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to make his company look better, but it just makes him look worse.
Yeah. Well, I think it nail on head, right? I mean, they at this point should be nipping at Vince's or the company formerly owned by Vince's heels. But you know, I think there's some criticism to throw there too. Completely different topic, but I would think that if I was going to spend $9 billion for a company, I'd have a plan in place the day I got the keys. I would hit the ground running. And from what I'm hearing from fans, and again, full disclosure, I haven't watched more than 30 seconds here and there of their product in the last 2 months. Been too busy. But from what I'm hearing from the fans is that it looks as though there's really no plan in place. They just took the keys and said, okay, Hunter, run it like you want to. Is that accurate?
Sort of. It's like almost like some people had like the ideas that they've always wanted to bring to the forefront, and they just kind of were able to use them now. So kind of like that, but I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. It's like, it's almost like they finally got the clearance to be like, all right, the old guy's gone. Let's kind of do whatever we can now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you got one guy like Franny just hit the nail on the head, you know, trying to play like the guerrilla warfare tactic. as one of the companies that's been on the air for 3 years, national television, and has shown no propensity to grow that company. It looks like desperation, right? Remember, Franny, when Paul kept wanting me to do the Flair stuff, and I kept saying, it's clear he's not coming. It looks desperate for us.
Right.
And he wanted me to keep doing it, and, you know, we had that argument over it. Same thing, like, there's a time to cut and run and move on. And they need to focus at this point on whatever the hundreds of millions of dollars invested so far. They need to figure out how to make that investment get a return on that investment. And TKO or Endeavor, whoever, I don't know which one's the parent company, but they need to figure out what it is they want to do with that $9 billion they just spent. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it keeps going back to what we've talked about for years on Triple Threat Podcast and other places. There is a massive audience built in to professional wrestling that has been completely ignored. And worse than that, you know, given a little more, get that nice crooked finger in there.
What is he doing with his finger?
And, you know, that's basically what our industry is saying to that 48 to 50 million fans. And it's sort of just, see ya, ciao, ta-ta. They've left. And nobody's even thinking about them, let alone figuring out how to get back. WWE's still making a ton of money, right? They've had their most profitable year from what I'm reading. If that's true, what if they would do something to get some of that 48 to 50 million fans back? And what if AEW would sort of court them in some way and get them up? They'd probably get the ratings up beyond that 300,000 to 800,000 range. That nobody is paying attention to that is, like, to me, incredibly perplexing.
Every time I hear an adult talk about wrestling, oh, I used to watch that stuff like when I was a teenager. Yeah. That's the most, the sentence I keep hearing. It's the same one from different people all the time. Yeah, I used to watch that back in the day. I don't watch it anymore. Like, right. To me, people, they don't think it's cool anymore. Like, I don't know how to explain it. There's still a market for it, obviously, because, right. You know, the people are still tuning in. But like you said, the numbers aren't there like they were years ago. And, yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like some guys are even embarrassed to admit they were wrestling fans at one point, which I don't get that. It's like, you like what you like, you know, wrestling, sure. Movies, whatever you're into Dungeons and Dragons. Who cares? If sure. You like yeah. It, you like it. And that's yeah. It. But when you talk to these people, like, people will, like, you know, if I meet, like, my husband's where he grew up. And there were people there that we were talking to. Oh, you used to wrestle. Yeah, I used to wrestle. Oh, yeah. That, you know, I liked that when I was like seven. And yeah. I go, okay. Like, yeah. That's fine. You know what I mean? Right. But it to me, it comes off nowadays like it's not the cool thing to like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what did they switch over and get into, all those millions of people? What are they into now?
UFC. Right. Remember the discussion at ECW at that crux point where there were some of us in the company pushing to take wrestling more in that realistic direction as the rest of the industry was flying off the cartoon land. And the UFC is massive. That's how they were able to afford $9 billion to pay, for the WWE. I wonder, though, first of all, to support what you just said, how many times have we been at a table and somebody comes up and says, oh, I used to love watching you guys. And you or I will ask them, do you still watch? And it's always like, no, I got a rock. You know, like, the plane goes down in flames.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I watched my kids and, you know, my kids had grown up in the dressing rooms. They loved being around the business. They used to really enjoy, I think just, the, you know, they thought they were important. They could come and go as they wanted and get a hot dog when they wanted or whatever. When they walked away from wrestling, it coincided with the time that they both started wrestling amateur. And I remember it like being like a literally today, tomorrow thing. Today, up until today, they loved it. Every day they were out on the front stoop playing with their friends in the wrestling rings and the video games and all of that. And suddenly tomorrow they didn't. They just stopped. And it was UFC for them. But for others, you know, kids, you've got kids. There's going to come a time when your kids, a little bit younger than mine, they're going to find music, they're going to find girls and boys, and they're going to find a whole slew of other things, cars and whatever else. And, you know, when that happens, other things fall by the wayside. And that's the real look-see, right, to the what wrestling had always been. I started watching wrestling at 6, 7 years old, and I've been a fan since. You started watching wrestling. All three of us here started watching wrestling young, grew up watching it, and now we've gotten into the industry and worked alongside of it. But I still can watch great wrestling, you know, pull something up old or whatever. Somebody sends me something, and I watch it. I still learn from the stuff. You know, watching an old Harley match or, you know, an old Bruno match or something, you go, wow. Like, you just see the thinking in the ring, but that's gone. You know, we've seen our industry. I think it's now more transitory. The kids come in at 6, 7, 8 years old. They watch it for a couple of years, then they sort of mature and say, oh, hey, there's girls, there's boys, there's cars, there's music, there's UFC, there's all these other things going on. And that, I think, is a bad slap at our business and what's being presented.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear so much negativity about the sport, and part of me gets enraged because there is still a part of me, because I love it. You know what I mean? I that's what I did for the last 30 years, and that's what I continue to do. So I'm offended at one point, but then the other half of me goes, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I kind of see where they're coming from, especially with today's product.
Right.
So, you know, there was a time when I didn't even have cable, and Monday Night Raw would be on, and I used to run up the street to my girlfriend's house for that hour and watch hers because I didn't have it.
And come on, then be honest. Did you guys cat fight?
No. I wasn't even in the business back then. I would just run because I wanted to see it. And I would run up the street and I would sit, and they, you know, her mom was great. She was like my second mother. She would let me watch it. And then she'd watch me run down the street. I'd go home. Right? That's how much I just adored the sport. And now I can't even sit there and watch it. And it's no offense to anybody working, but I think at this stage in my life, I'm just doing different things. I have different obligations and I'm not as obsessed as I used to be, because I used to be obsessed with it. You know, we would drive and all we talk about were spots and what we're going to do. It was constantly running through my brain. Maybe because I'm not working, you know, ringside, although we do have two shows coming up with that we're going to plug, and I'm freaking out over them just to let you know. I have to do stuff and it's killing me. But,
one little power bomb off the top rope to the table.
How bad can it be? That is not happening. But, you know, you get in, like, the older you get a different mind frame. And, you know, there's just certain things that I think about now that are way more important than professional wrestling and, you know, family and kids.
Of course.
Life. Yeah. And so I get the transition onto other things. But, you know, when people talk about it in a negative way, I want to punch them in the face. I'm like, ew. You don't have to be crude about it. You know what I mean? So, you know,
How many times have you heard me say in interviews, and including our podcast and probably on here, I'm not indicting the kids. We've both been there. When you're a kid in this business, unless somebody takes you by the nose and explains to you when to do those big bumps, when to take this or do this move or not do it, speed up, slow down. At Dominic's gym, we learned how to do the moves. And I didn't learn the business, like actually wrestling and telling a story, until I was on the road. And I've said this so many times, it's like it echoes in my own brain. If it weren't for the Pez Watleys and the Black Barts and the Dick Slaters and Murdochs and all those guys, you would have never met me. You guys would never have known me. The fans would never have known me, because everything that I learned that I would apply later came from being in the ring with those guys. And these kids, bless their hearts, they have never been given that opportunity. So I was asking a kid, again, name irrelevant. Last summer, Moose was having a show down there in Kentucky, and he was a fan of mine and came up and introduced himself. And we started talking, and I said, he'd been in the business for 4 years. So the first question was, how many matches per year? How many matches have you had in those 4 years? And it was something like 67 or 68 in 4 years. And I asked him, I said, have you ever been in the ring with a guy with 20 years experience? And he said, yeah. I said, how many times? He said, one time with Al Snow. And I thought, so 4 years, this kid had been in the ring one time with a guy with a lot of experience. Again, in my day, would have been Pez and all those guys I just mentioned. If me and Mick Foley had gone on the road together and only ever worked with each other, what could I possibly have learned from him or he from me? We were at the same level. There was none we could teach each other. I always like to stress, I'm not indicting the kids, but when you have a dressing room full of guys back there that have all proven themselves on deck for decades, drawing money, telling stories and surviving in this business. If you make it to the top of this pile in this business, you clearly know something because there's a whole lot of people that don't. It just perplexes me that anybody would think that there's nothing I can learn from talking to Francine or Shane or anybody that has that 30, 40 years in. It's just a head scratcher. And so, you know, there's that push and show. Last time I was at an AEW show in Pittsburgh, one of the kids came up and please don't misunderstand. He was not being disrespectful. He was, I think, trying to explain, you know, me and Taz and we started talking and his son Hook was there and Jerry came over and Dean came over and different people were coming over. And suddenly there's this little crowd of people. And Taz and I started talking about our angle. And one of the kids said to me, well, see, Franchise, that's the difference. Like back in when you guys worked, the fans still believed in the business, but everybody knows it's a work now, so it doesn't have to make sense. And I looked at Taz and I said, did he really just say that to me? Like jokingly. And so I asked the kid, you know, trying to be funny, I guess it didn't quite land the way I thought it would. I said, hey, there's a movie I used to watch when I was a kid. Have you ever heard of it? It's a little movie called Star Wars. He goes, oh my God, I love Star Wars. I said, okay, so you know what a lightsaber is and you know what the Millennial Falcon is and C-3PO and Darth Vader's mask. He goes, yeah. I said, well, why does Disney spend $200-300 million per on special effects? I mean, they could put out the actors with a broomstick and put the sound effect over it. And you just imagine that it's a lightsaber or put a tin bucket on the actor playing Darth Vader's head, et cetera. And the kids look at me like I'm crazy. And I said, they do that because they'd much rather put $200-300 million in the bank, I assure you. They do that because they want you to suspend disbelief to go to that place that doesn't exist. And in our business, I told the kid, I said, if you're telling yourself before you go out that curtain, none of this has to make sense. You've already defeated yourself before you've walked through that curtain. I hope he listened and learned and he's learning from it. But again, it's just a completely different industry. All that talent in the dressing room that could you know, allow them to sit under the learning tree. None of them are in the ring. Billy Gunn a bit, but none of them are in the ring, for the most part, not in the ring. So they can't literally get in there and say, okay, I'm going to teach you tonight. We go out there. Here's how we're going to do this. And it's a shame because the kids, again, I've said this so many times and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. They are so incredibly athletic that if somebody would just make them learn their craft, imagine the stories they could tell with that athleticism.
Well, I mean, I think there was a missed opportunity not hiring a certain franchise to be a coach because, you know, I think you could have whipped those youngins into shape and
whippersnappers.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You know, Shane, I didn't realize, I saw a match from, I think it was last summer, that you worked the match, but Adam Cole was in the corner of you. I had never seen that before. What was his role at that show? Because he's taken on such a role there in AEW as a top guy, but like, what did the guys at that show kind of treat him like?
He came in, he was respectful. He was seemingly like took his segment of that and worked on it. But he, there wasn't a whole ton of communication. How do I put it without making it sound good or bad? I mean, just describing it. He came, it was almost like he came there and filled his role. You know, it was, I think he was trying not to be seemingly disrespectful. You know, the look, first of all, these kids today, they're 20, 25, they can't make eye contact. So, you know, you get a whole lot of this, but he was pretty, conversational and, and I can't remember. I'm going to go back and ask Moose now, because I can't remember why, he wasn't working that night.
He's been injured a lot.
It was a weird spot.
He's coming off of, he was injured and then he got injured again. So maybe they just brought him in as a name, but he really couldn't do anything.
No, he was physical. He was physical. He hit a move. Like he laid somebody out.
Yeah, but why didn't they bring him into work?
That's why it was so weird. But I just was wondering what the vibe was like.
Injury. He probably could do something. You know how you work around your injuries.
Sure. Yeah.
So maybe that's what happened, but I didn't see it, so I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Yeah, that's a year ago. Is 10 million years ago to me.
I'm sure.
I can't remember the specifics, but he.
That's what he had for breakfast this morning.
You have no idea. It's a
coffee.
Yeah, coffee. Always coffees for certain.
Yes.
I also heard that Kenny Omega is. The diverticulitis it's
definitely out.
Yeah, that's I had a person I grew up with, one of my friends in the neighborhood. She's had that lifelong, and we've talked quite a bit about it. And that's no joke. I mean, that's a really pretty serious thing. And at some point, if it gets, I don't know the modalities today, what the treatments are, but back then her big concern was that she would start losing pieces of her intestines. And, that gets pretty serious. And I said, when Kenny first had all those injuries and needed surgeries, I think it was on the Franchise podcast where I said, that's, as somebody who's had, a long list of surgeries, you can bounce back from a certain number, but once you get over 7, 8, 9 surgeries, it starts getting harder. And, as you're getting older, the gas tank goes empty a lot quicker. And, I said in my podcast, a message to him was, I understand, and I know for these kids it's impossible, like it was for us to understand, there's going to come a time when you hit that ripe old age like we have of 39, and, you still want to be able to get out in the, in your case, out in the pool with your friend, your kids, and me, playing like an idiot with the Nerf guns and the, balls and stuff in the backyard. There is life after wrestling. And so, hopefully I wish him the best of luck on that, because that's a tough thing to deal with.
Yeah, it's sad. Let's change the tide to something happy. We today were announced for WrestleCon.
Yes.
Finally.
Where is it this year?
I'm not sure. I was going to ask you, where do we have to go? It's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I was like, they're announcing everybody. Where are we? So there's the strapping young buck right there. That was your announcement today.
Handsome devil.
Actually, you were announced 2 days ago. I was announced today.
But did they do the drum roll first?
I don't think you got it. Circumstances.
Come on, Franny. Be honest with us now. Full disclosure here. You going to the Hall of Fame?
Me? Absolutely not.
comment right there. It says, great announcement. Looking forward to meeting the franchise. But how are you going to announce Shane without the lovely ECW diva Francine?
Yeah, I was nowhere to be found. So I'm like, hello, am I booked?
You would be shocked, Jaddy, in how many times people book us and like at the gathering, what was that, last year, the year before? Francine was appearing with Sandman.
I was appearing with Bill Apter.
Oh, yeah, Bill Apter. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we saw that.
Who I love.
It's great, but I mean, yeah. How many? Hello? we were both there. I used to work with her. Remember that? It was.
Yeah, and the promoter, there I am. Promoters will say to me, oh, yes, thank you. Do you still
look at that coif?
I know. That was the porn star hair. I love that picture. Yeah, promoters are still like, oh, do you and Shane still talk?
Never.
And I go, what? And then somebody said, oh, you worked with Shane before? I looked at them like, are you kidding me? What the hell? I don't understand. Oh, well, I'm a big ECW fan. Oh, you worked with Shane Douglas.
Shane who? Who's that guy?
What year did you watch the show? I mean, you missed a big chunk of that year. It baffles me. I don't get it. But anyway, they announced us today. So we'll be appearing all 3 days. They also announced us for Icons.
Yep.
Which we'll be doing double duty. So we're going to hightail it out of this.
One more power bomb. Just one.
You're nuts. Look, this is what I'm going to do. We're working with Al Snow for Battleground, Night of the Extreme 2 or something like that. Yep. The spot that I'm going to do is I'm just going to steal head and take her to the back. And not come back out.
Oh, spoiler alert.
That's all I'm doing. So
you gotta let me drop an elbow on
No, I'm not doing nothing. I'm just gonna take head and I'm gonna do my entrance, wave at everyone, steal head, and I'm on my way. So you're on your own, kid. Yes, goodbye.
Am I going? I can't get my hand in there right. The way you do it? Is that it?
Yeah, you just do that. That's great.
Yeah, Shane, you guys have had some tag matches. You and Al against each other, but have you had many one-on-ones since 97?
One that I can remember in Detroit, the day that Jim Cornette got thrown out of the building in the
That was that day?
Yeah, that was the day.
Why did he get thrown out of the building?
Yeah. Dominic and I were setting up, and he was talking about somebody, he is a politician who shall remain nameless. And I had told him I'd voted for that person, and he about lost his mind.
Oh, and then he started screaming at you?
He started going crazy. Dominic walked over and goes, hey, kid, take ease. You're going to have a stroke.
That's the day he slapped Santino.
Yeah, there was a slap. What? And yeah, he got crazy. We had left. I had taken Dominic back to the hotel because it was afternoon. We were setting up, and I took Dominic to the hotel. And we came back, and everyone's like, hey, did you hear what happened? I was like, holy smokes.
Why did he smack him?
Long there was story. Yeah, long, some kind of, you know. Corny's opinionated. You know, Corny will call his opinions here.
Okay, but good Lord. Okay.
So back in OVW, Jim Cornette was trying to get over the Boogeyman as a scary character, and he had Santino in the crowd. And Santino was laughing, okay? So he took him in the back, and he chewed him out, and he has held a grudge on him ever since. So he saw him at that show. They talked trash back and forth for years.
Oh, God.
And he saw him at that show, and he slapped the piss out of him.
And so, is that why he got ejected from the building?
He got thrown out.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
He should have taken Dominic's advice. Take easy, kid.
Yeah.
That's all he needed to do.
So crazy. I don't know. Well, we're booked on a bunch of stuff together, so get ready. Yep. There are a number of shows coming up. The big one was the WrestleCon announcement, which I wanted to say, but everybody knows to go to my Twitter. Shane doesn't go online. You have to follow me and you have to see.
I still tag him in everything, but it doesn't
I promote for both of us. So
well, I, got, I got to bury Franny here for a second because everybody calls her the Queen of Extreme. And I recently learned that there was a 106-year-old woman who drank 106 shots of
Fireball.
Fireball. And, you know, I've never seen Franny do more than 20. So she's not hardcore. She's not.
He called me up after after I did my virtual. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sick. And he's like, what's the matter? And I was like, oh, I did like 8 shots of Fireball and I feel so ill. And then he sends me that old lady. I'm like, come on, this is such a work. 106 shots. She's like crippled. You gotta
crushed you. Man, you got jawed by the centenarian.
Well, let me tell you, we are also booked for the bash at Beckley in West Virginia in June. Oh, yeah. And Gary said he has the moonshine ready.
Okay. Are you going to tell that story?
No, you can tell that story. Oh. Okay, but you have to come in early. I'm coming in the day before. You have to come in the day before.
I'll get down there. Yeah, it's just a stone's throw.
All right. So go ahead.
At the WrestleCade 2 years ago.
There we are.
A year and a half ago, whatever it was. Franny.
Wait, why do I look like you smacked me across the face? I look like I have a black eye.
No, that's your sultry. That does look like a black eye.
I look like I have a black eye for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I invented the duck lips. No one can tell me different. But anyway, go ahead.
So we were invited to Brian Myers' room, and we get there, and he had 2 pretty big mason jars of flavored moonshine. And Freddie pours herself a whole glass.
No, he gave me the jar. he just gave me the mason jar, and it was full.
Yeah, but when you poured it into your cup, you filled the whole cup up, like to the top.
I didn't know. I never had moonshine before.
And you took the first thing, that's pretty good.
It was watermelon.
And about 5 minutes later.
I chugged it.
You did.
And yeah. Shane, it was so loud in that room. Like Shane and I were fossils. Everybody was like 20-something, 30-something. Shane and I are like, what you say? We're trying to talk to each other. Hey. He was across the room. I couldn't even hear him, right? I'm sitting on the bed with this cup. And he goes, oh. And I'm just, go. I thought you just drank it like a normal drink. And yeah, everybody was gasping. Oh, my God. Well, I left the room at 2 a.m., laid down. 4 a.m., I had the spins. I was so sick. And then I was up at 6 with the world's worst headache in the world. So now Heath Slater taught me you have to put it on ice and you sip it. You sit on a rocking chair on your porch.
On the front porch.
It. Yep. And you sip it. So that's what I'm going to do. Like a lady, I'm just going to sip it. So there you go.
That old lady smoked you.
She
jobbed you out.
Get out of here, man. Those, I'm telling you, I was sick as a dog on New Year's Day.
I imagine why.
You're killing your gimmick here, Franny. You're killing your gimmick.
I am the worst. Anyway, this hour flew by. I can't believe it. I just saw your mug and now you got to go. Do you want to plug anything?
Just the Franchise University. But there's a story about it. You guys mentioned about the social media earlier. Both my Facebook and my Twitter had been hacked. Like my recovery stuff doesn't work. So
but you opened a new page.
If you're, well, go through all that again. Come on. And you know what? I don't miss any of it. It's nice to just be floating along and doing the stuff. The podcast is doing well enough. I will probably get back on social media when time dictates. But honestly, I really don't miss it. I know it's important, and I just don't have the time for it. If I do, that's invariably something else I'm not getting done in.
I got you. Don't worry.
My excuse.
I got you. I'll promote for both of us. We have so much stuff coming up. I was telling Chad earlier, I said, my God, I have so much up until June. And then the second half of the year, we got to get it going. So
yeah, but we're 2 weeks into the new year. So
I know. Yeah,
up.
Something always comes up. For yeah, sure. Yeah. But when you look at your calendar and it's like, ooh, I've got to get that. Oh, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
But we have a lot of things coming up. And don't worry, I'll promote for the both of us.
Curious.
Yeah.
Your kids. They ever watch your stuff that you allow them to, or you ever see the?
How many times are you going to ask me this? No, absolutely not.
Okay, next time I'm in.
Tonight, my son goes, "Mom, I think you have too much showing." I go, "I have to go downstairs and work." He goes, "Yeah, but I think you should cover up."
A frock. You need a frock.
I need a muumuu is what I need at this house. I was like, oh, let me go get my, what are they called? The doilies that you put over?
Depends.
No. No, it's the women wear them. A modesty panel. That's what it's called. It's a modesty panel, and you can clip it like in your shirt, and it covers your chest. That's what I need to get as a modesty panel, I suppose.
I've never heard of that in my life.
You never heard of a modesty panel?
I can't say I have.
I think they used to call those bibs.
No, I'm telling you. Well, I did Brian Alvarez's live
today.
Yeah,
how'd that go?
It went really well. And a very short amount of time, so they're going to have me on for the full hour next month. I literally had 5 minutes on his show. It was real quick. But he said, every time you say eyes up here, I get nervous. And I said, well, I said, you should. I said, because, you know, your eyes should be up here. And he goes, how many times have you heard that at a signing? Like, eyes up here. I said, oh, I've said it all the time. And then the guy will say, well, look at what you're wearing. And I go, touche.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? I can't cover up. These are the moneymakers.
So. Dodge, parry, thrust.
Anywho, do you want to plug Connor's gig?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah.
Because he never texted me, that little shit.
Yeah, welcome to that artistic brain. But he's,
I know.
His group is called Dando Veins, DandoVeins, like in your arm. They're in the studio today. They went to Atlanta and they're working with, I don't remember the guy's name. Yeah, I am with names. But he's like a fairly big producer. And they're going to be recording 4 songs and they'll be releasing those. So he's pretty excited about it. Obviously I'm a proud father, but their music, I mean, there's something there. You've heard their music. I mean, it's not just strumming a guitar or whatever. These kids are pretty talented. And I have a college buddy that had gone to Nashville years ago, and he became a big songwriter, wrote some pretty big songs, and you know, was pretty well known. And so I'm going to connect those two because he's in Nashville now and get those two together. But Dando Veins, go any music outlet. You can check out some of their first 4 songs, 4 or 5 songs they put out. But they'll be releasing these songs fairly soon, I'm imagining, probably within the next month. And they're available to all the music outlets. So check them out.
Open invite when he's ready.
100%.
I want him on the show. And, you know.
Well, I'm just going to warn you. I mean, he's a talented kid, but the old man got the looks.
I'm sure.
I can't believe you put yourself over before.
Every time I say that, both my boys go.
Really, God. Okay.
Yeah, right there.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll probably talk to you tomorrow because that's how we roll. But I appreciate you coming on. Everybody appreciate go over and check out Franchise University on YouTube with James, right? James is your co-host.
Romero,
go and subscribe if you haven't. And always a pleasure, my friend.
The second best looking co-host he ever had.
Appreciate you guys, man. Good seeing you again.
I'll talk to you soon.
Later, buddy.
All right, we'll see you guys.
See you.
Happy New Year, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The first was me, of course.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was me. Okay. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Always good talking to my friend, the franchise, who I talk to every day of my life anyway. So.
Those are my pinch me moments. My two best buds in the world, the Queen of Extreme and the franchise.
Oh, I just want to do this to you right now. Pet your head. What do you got going on? Anything?
Well, I can announce it now here on the airwaves of Eyes Up Here. The first signing for IB Exclusives in 2024
is
private signing with a returning guest. Beam me up, Scotty. William Shatner returns to IB Exclusives for a third time this April. We will be meeting with William Shatner again. I'll have all the details coming to my Twitter, to IBExclusives.com. So if you've never participated in a private signing before, what you do is you send in an item to get signed, or we provide you an item to get signed. But all that information will be on my website. So you can go to IBExclusives.com or my Twitter, which is at ChadEMB.
That's great. Are you going to get him to come on the podcast?
I wish, but that is out of the pay grade.
That is terrible.
I wish. No media. It says it in the contract.
If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at ECW Diva Francine. If you haven't already, go on over to our YouTube channel, ECW Diva Francine. Hit that subscribe button. If you choose to do so, you could be a channel member for only $5.99. There's exclusive content. But if you don't want to do that and, you know, you want something for free, just hit the subscribe button. We're so close to 10,000 subscribers. We need your help. Go over and hit it. And if you're not following us on iHeart or on any of the other platforms, please follow or subscribe and support Eyes Up Here. I hope you all are staying safe. I hope you're staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.